Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And the Rolling Stones. I got a few scars from the battles I won, cause I'm 74 years young.
Let's see, played with the Rolling Stones? Check. Heaps of awards? Check. Ready to retire? Not a chance. This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. Today, Buddy Guy joins us to talk about his incredible career. Also, the chamber ensemble Tin Hat counts the blues as one of its many influences. They'll perform their eclectic brew live in the studio. But we begin with Buddy Guy. He helped pioneer the electric guitar sound that put Chicago blues on the map. He was a formative influence on rock guitarists like Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimi Hendrix. And now, just shy of his 75th birthday, he's still playing with brass. He just released a new album called Living Proof, and he's here to tell us all about it. Buddy Guy, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the album title struck me, Living Proof. At your age, with what you've accomplished, what do you still have to prove?
Well, I'm not as famous as quite a few more guitar players you just mentioned there, and I was listening to B.B. King on a satellite radio approximately a couple of months ago, and somebody phoned in and asked him, say, do you ever think about retiring? He said, yes, I do, but why don't you retire? He said, because I still think it's someone out there don't know who I am. You know, so if he can say that, I know I ain't got no business complaining about nothing.
Now, if things were different, if you were, you know, had the name recognition of an Eric Clapton or a Jimi Hendrix, would you retire? Is that something you would look forward to doing?
I don't think so, because I don't know any blues cats that I, you know, I taught myself how to play guitar by listening to some of these great blues players who should have received all the awards that I've received in my lifetime. And
People like who?
Fred McDowell, Sunhouse, Lightning Hopkins, T-Bone Walker, and all those people, and we still got B.B. around. But most blues players don't retire, they just drop.
Or they retire until someone rediscovers them, as happened famously to Skip James in the 1960s.
Yes, Fred McDowell and all those
guys.
Yes.
Now, you know, from Fred McDowell to you is a world of difference sonically. I mean, it's the blues, but, you know, you changed the sound of the blues, you and Muddy Waters and just a handful of other guitarists. And I want to sort of find out a little bit about that. But first, I want to give people a chance to hear what you've done recently. The album begins with you saying, I'm 74 years young. Is that how you're feeling these days?
I co-wrote that with the producer, Tom Hambridge. And I don't know, you know, I have people laughing sometime now. I remember when I used to go jump out of the bed and do a flip. Now I have to pull one leg out of the bed, you know. So,
and yet, it sounds like the fingers are still in working order. Here's Buddy Guy from the new album called Living Proof.
She said, turn it down, buddy.
That is Buddy Guy from the new album called Living Proof. He's with us on Soundcheck today. Okay, so Buddy, you can't do the flip in the morning when you're getting out of bed, but How's the dexterity in your fingers? I mean, are you still able to basically play what you're hearing in your mind?
Yes, but the fingers is not as relaxed as they used to be, you know. I mean, people used to look at me, my older friends, some of them passed away, they used to tell me this before I got this age, said, let's keep on living, son, you'll see what I'm talking about, you know. But so far, they still move enough to make me to say, well, just keep on doing it, buddy, which I mentioned that on the thing with BB and I did. No, your fingers, your legs, your knees, and everything else lets you know that you're 74 years young.
And yet there are moments on this record where you're still shredding, you know, and it seems like, you know, a much younger man is playing the guitar, frankly. But what do you do to keep, you know, to keep that ability? Do you have, like, exercises that you do for the fingers? And
no, I got a bad habit. I don't hardly even pick up my guitar. Now, you know, I play by ear. I don't read music. Mm-hmm. And I don't listen. You know, I have to listen a lot to other stuff. And please believe me, I don't lie to you. You know, I got to go learn this new CD. Because you'll never
People are going to expect you to play this stuff.
Yeah, because you don't catch me listening to Buddy Guy because I can't learn nothing. I already know that. So you go get somebody else's CD that just came out with a new one. I say, oh, I got it, in which I just told my side men when Muddy Waterman was living, they come out with a little Walter and come out with a new record. I said, you hear that new thing on Muddy Walter? Yeah, and the late drummer B-Low, the oldest man, those great guys. I said, you got yours? Yeah, I got it. I said, we can go down there tonight and wear Muddy out with it. And he would call us up and we'd have that thing perfect. Never rehearse it because you just play your part.
So you would listen to Muddy Waters records to learn something because you already knew what was on the Buddy Guy records.
Yes, more than Muddy or BB or whoever else, you know. Because, yeah. You know, if I just say right now, let me play me some Buddy Guy, I'm not experiencing nothing. I'm not accomplishing anything. I need to go to someone else to steal something so I can say.
Well, I mean, you know, that's part of being a musician, right? Is knowing where to.
Yeah.
Knowing who to borrow from. Let's use that term.
Well, I put it like this, you know. I be trying to figure out, and I tell all young people this, I be trying to figure out what did this guitar player do, and I can't find it, but I found something else looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But you don't pick up the guitar, like in between gigs or in between records? It's not.
No, that's a bad habit, because if I listen to someone, if I pick up my guitar, I'm going to get into something that, and I feel like I'm stuck. When I was learning to teach myself how to play, I felt like I was stuck at one thing and couldn't go any further. But if I listen to someone else, I go into the night, I don't even tell the band. I just say, I'm going to try to figure out what I heard today. Mm-hmm. Eric Clapton played, or Hendrix, or Jeff Beck, or one of them, and I didn't find it, but guess what? I found something else sound pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, on the new record, the list of guests is short but very carefully chosen. Carlos Santana, B.B. King. It's not the first time you and B.B. King have played together, but is this the first time he's actually played on one of your records?
This is the first time he ever played on one of my records. I played on one of his called Blues Summit about 15, maybe 20 years ago, which he had Ruth Brown, John Lee Hook, and quite a few of us on there with him.
Well, but this is just Buddy Guy and B.B. King from Buddy's new record called Living Proof. The song is Stay Around a Little Longer.
More to give. I thank the Lord to let me stay around a little longer. Lord knows I love the life I live. Sure.
is Buddy Guy with B.B. King, two living legends of the blues from Buddy Guy's new record called Living Proof, that is Stay Around a Little Longer, a title that you and B.B. have both taken to heart, still going strong together. Buddy, how do you hear the way you play and the way B.B. plays? You know, what how do you hear the similarity and what's different between the two of you?
I'm not as good as he is. And 95% of my playing is, I got that from listening to him. When I first got a chance to see him, I think I was about 17 years old. And then I had saw the late Guitar Slim before him. Mm-hmm. And Slim was wild and crazy. And I said, my God, I want to act like that. But then I saw B.B. shaking that left hand on that string. I said, I want to play like B.B., but I want to act like Guitar Slim. So when you hear me play, I think you get B.B., Guitar Slim, or T-Bone and everybody, because I was trying to mix it all. And I don't know if you've been to Louisiana to eat the gumbo or not, but it got all kind of meat in it. So I just figured, let me put all this together. Maybe I'll get a gumbo sound.
Well, now, you talked about how how you would go searching for something and find something else instead. One of your signature sounds, and it's interesting to hear you and B.B. trading licks there, because you still have that kind of distorted, that rough edge to your playing that it really seems to be the hallmark of a Buddy Guy guitar solo. How did you come to develop that sound? I mean, you were really one of the first to use distortion as a part of the sound.
You know, I didn't know I had that until someone told me. You know, I was just trying to get some attention in Chicago because you had these great guitar players there, the late Wayne Bennett, Fenton Robertson, Luther Allison. I could go on and on. Of course, Otis still around. He had a stroke, but he was left-handed, and I couldn't compete playing with him, but they was kind of quiet, and I said, I'm going to use this Guitar Slim on him. You know, I'm going to jump off the stage and take a dash through the crowd and come back to the stage, and somebody going to say, who is that passed me by? And that's what I was doing. And until the British guys came back and said, matter of fact, let me get this in there. The Chess people would
Chess
just,
Records. Yeah.
Yeah, would kick me out of the studio every time I would turn that amp up. And finally, the British guys got it, and he sent Willie Dixon to my house. I said, oh, my God, I won't get a chance to make another record with Mudd and him now, because Leonard Chess had sent for me. And the first thing he said, he bent over and said, I want you to kick me. I said, for what? And he put on, I think it was a Cream record, he said, because you've been trying to give us this all the time. We was too stupid to listen to you, and this is hot. So this stuff is selling. So now you can come in here and do what you want.
Now you can turn that amp up to 11
yeah.
if
yeah,
you want.
Yeah, you can turn it up to 11.
This recording is from Buddy Guy in the Chess Records days. This is from 1961, Stone Crazy. Stone Crazy is the name of this 1961 recording from Buddy Guy's early days with the legendary Chess Records. His new album is called Living Proof and came out last week. Although, at your insistence, Buddy, the vinyl, the LP, came out before the CD. You're still a fan of vinyl records?
Yes, I am. You know, I... I don't know if you remember, I'm a fan of the 78s that you couldn't drop. But, right. You know, you could almost wear those records out and wipe them off and still play, because I couldn't afford to buy another record when I was trying to teach myself how to play the guitar, and I had the 78, but you couldn't drop it. But maybe I shouldn't say this. Every time you better not be eating a piece of chicken and pick up a CD, though. You got to go buy another one, because you...
Well, let me read you a comment that Mark from Westchester, one of our listeners, left on the soundcheck page of our website. He writes, "Saw Buddy Guy open for Led Zeppelin at the New York State Pavilion, August 1969, first live show ever for me. He was very energetic for what I thought was an old blues hand. Sorry, buddy. But the acoustics stank, the sight lines were terrible, my girlfriend insisted on watching perched on my shoulders, had a great time, one of the most influential experiences ever." There are lots of people who, you know, felt that you were sort of already back in the 60s representing an older tradition, and for some people that was really important, people like Eric Clapton, the Rolling Stones and stuff. How did you sort of find yourself in the same orbit with these people? I mean, for example, what was your first meeting with the Stones?
I was doing we didn't do albums then. We did, which is four songs, 2 45s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the studio doing a cut called My Time After a While. And I had never saw a white person with no hair that long. And they brought them in the studio and lined them up against the wall. And I'm right in the middle of my set. I'm like saying, I don't know what this is. You know, this, who's this? Is these women or men? You know? And after I made 2 or 3 cuts and they was all smiles standing there, and they kind of find out they wasn't as famous. And they said, that's the Rolling Stones. And they was more excited about, they had pulled up in front of Chess Studios, and Muddy had helped them bring the amplifiers upstairs, and it was like, Muddy Waters carrying our amplifiers, you know? And I'm like saying, okay, who is this later? And later on, we've been friends ever since that.
Keith Richards' autobiography just came out. It's getting incredible, you know, rave reviews and stuff. You ever sit down guitarist to guitarist and just kind of like, you know, talk shop?
No, not really. We talk guitars. You know, I made a little part in the flick Shine a Light,
mm-hmm.
and he finally gave me the guitar because, you know, I own the largest blues club in Chicago, and I got every guitar player signature guitar on the wall. And I've been asking them for a guitar for almost 40 years ago, and every time I go back and say, where's my signed guitar? You didn't get it? You know, I told the manager to give it to him, and I said, well, I know what to do. I'm just going to walk on stage and take me a guitar off your stage one day. But he finally gave it to me when we was doing the taping the Shine a Light.
That's the film that was recorded at the Beacon Theater here in New York.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Buddy Guy, whose new record is called Living Proof. Starts off with the statement, I'm 74 years young, goes through, actually a number of the songs are sort of autobiographical, the things you've done, the people you've met. And, you know, the list of people who acknowledge Buddy Guy as a musical influence, it's not stuck in the 60s. It's not all Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, Jeff Beck, Keith Richards. I mean, we had a chance recently to talk to Nels Klein, the guitarist from the Chicago band Wilco.
Right. Okay.
And he got to talking about you as well. This is Nels Klein on Soundcheck earlier this year.
The new blues record that blew me away back then was a Buddy Guy record called Stone Crazy, which sounded to me like the sound of blues on some kind of illegal stimulant, probably. Some of the most maniacal, demonic guitar playing I've ever heard to this day. It's very Hendrix-inspired in some ways musically, but the guitar playing was what it was all about for me, so I think I was just being guitar-centric.
Is Buddy Guy from a 1981 record, the one that you heard Nels Klein talking about, Stone Crazy, the song Are You Losing Your Mind? And so, you know, your fellow Chicago band Wilco, with a nod to your influence, Buddy. You mentioned you run this blues club in Chicago. How long have you been doing that?
Well, excuse me. In the 60s, during the riots, matter of fact, I was here when the one broke out the night Dr. Martin Luther King got assassinated, and they closed down everything, but I think it was called the Generation Club, and I think Jimi Hendrix bought it later on, and they wasn't selling in the booze. We all wind up there that night, me, B.B. King, and Janis Joplin, and God knows who else, and that's why we wind up all crying and still playing a little blues. But after that, a lot of the great blues clubs disappeared. Here, Chicago, Washington, D.C., wherever they used to have them in Boston, Club 47, the first one. And most of them was what they call coffee houses. They didn't sell booze, you know. Mm-hmm. You just went there and played the blues. The average one of them, I think, it was 100 or less than 100 people you'd play. But we was having so much fun. And I saw him disappear, and I went, my first one was called Checkerboard, which the Stones taped Muddy Waters there. And I opened that August the 5th, 1972, and I stayed there until 85, and then I opened the new one June 9th, 1989.
And it's still going?
And I moved in the same block. I had to move because the college owned the property, and I moved, and we relocated on May 28th of this year, and we're going strong now, and so far it's doing pretty well so far.
Well, here's why I asked the question, because we actually did a program a couple of months ago about the blues, the state of the blues now. Is the blues still evolving, and therefore is it still relevant, or is there the risk that it's, you know, kind of stuck as a musical museum piece?
Excuse me, as I say, I've been having a problem with this voice. All music is like a product that you put on the market. If don't nobody know it's there, you going out the door backwards. And at one point in life, when they start fading away on playing blues on radio stations all over the country, in Brazil and Europe and everywhere else, I was leaning toward the lyrics we were singing, which we didn't come out as strong as the hip-hoppers, but you could beat around the bush and figure out what B.B. King meant when he said, "I got a sweet little angel, I love the way she spreads her wing." Well, it took me 15 years to figure out what he meant. And then when the hip-hoppers got it, only took you 3 seconds to figure out what they meant.
Right.
So up until then, I thought the lyrics was making them fade away on the blues. But lately, you know, I don't know what it is, but I know blues is not as bad as you thought it was with the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So young people nowadays are looking for role models. And my children didn't know who I was until they turned 21 years old and came in a blues club. And all of them cried and said, "Dad, I didn't know you could play like that."
Wow.
Yeah.
So there is hope for the blues in...
especially with people like you. And I appreciate every minute you invited me up here.
Buddy Guy, at 74 years young, still going strong. It's great to have you on Soundcheck, and congratulations on the new record called Living Proof.
Thank you very much for having me. And if I'm ever in town or near you, I'd be welcome to come anytime you need me.
Buddy Guy, my guest on Soundcheck. Coming up next are CD picks of the week, and then later the San Francisco chamber group Tin Hat draws heavily on the blues and bluegrass, but also on many other things, and you'll hear that reflected in a live performance in the Soundcheck studio.